Good morning. Morning, Helen. Morning, Alistair. Morning, all of you. Very warm welcome to our church service this morning, particularly if you're visiting. We really hope you enjoy your time with us. Please do come and join us after service in the back hall for tea and coffee and chance for us to get to know you. But you're all very welcome. So this is the first Sunday in Advent, and the busyness of the season has already started. And I just wanted to say a big thank you to all those people who helped with the church's stall down the town on Friday for the Christmas light switch-on event. I understand a number of really encouraging, good discussions took place. So we will pray that those discussions stay in those people's minds and that they may explore further over the coming weeks. But thank you. I was reading earlier this week that there's a village in Alaska that when they watched the sunset on Monday this past week, they said goodbye to it until the 23rd of January. Oh. Quiet. That's what I felt. 23rd of January, 2 months without seeing the sun. Fair play if they can cope, but I'm really not sure I could. I am one of these people who I think do suffer a bit throughout the real darker months of the winter. I'm saying that partly with the little brackets, so please be gentle with me over the next 2 months. But that idea of no light is quite difficult, but how they must look forward to that 23rd of January, to that time when they do see the light again. On a spiritual note, the lack of light, or lack of the light of Jesus, can bring a real darkness and a real lack of hope. The lack of knowing and believing that there is something better to come. But at the start of this Advent time, let's look forward to focusing on the coming of Jesus, the coming of the light of the world, and the certain hope that that particular little baby brought and still brings today. A couple of verses from the Bible, from John 8. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is more than just a metaphor. It's a promise of transformation and hope, and that promise stands as true today as it did in Jesus' time. And from 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. What a great promise and a great hope as we begin this Advent time. Our first song this morning is a favourite of mine, but actually it was independently chosen by myself, Martin and Sam. All three of us chose it. So please do stand to sing, In the Darkness We Were Waiting.
Thank you.
Thank you that you are living and that you bring us great hope. Amen. We now have a reading to lead us into lighting the first candle on our Advent crown. So Emily and Joy are coming forward. I should just say that in the middle of this reading, there is a sentence of response for us all. So that will come up on the screen at the appropriate time if you can all join in. Thank you.
The prophet Isaiah calls to us from the past to imagine the future when God's reign will be fully realized and recognized throughout creation. When that time comes, God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
Today we choose to live in hope, believing that the time of God's reign has come and is coming among us.
We light this candle of hope as a sign of our promise to follow the light as we answer God's call to transform our hope into reality today and in the days to come.
Excellent. Thank you, ladies. That's always a relief when the first candle lights first time. Sometimes it's a bit dodgy, but thank you. We're now going to continue our time of sung worship. So, led by Sam, if you're happy to stand up, and you were the word at the beginning.
So.
Dear Lord, we do thank you for your salvation. Thank you that the hope that we have isn't just for our time on earth, but it's for eternity, where we can truly live in the light of your glory. Amen. I have no notices to give, but Martin and Mike do, so...
Good to see you this morning. You'll notice on your seat as you came in, you should have a couple of these things hanging around. It is already moving into the season of giving gifts, and these are gifts for you, but they're also gifts for you to give away. So if you've got one of these, this is for you to give away as an invitation to somebody else. Please do not keep it for yourself. But before you give it away, please note down what's going on. So it's just the Christmas week services and so on and so forth for that one. The other one you should have is a little card or a piece of paper entitled Prayer Week. Have we all got that one?
Yeah.
Excellent, good. So every year in January we have a Prayer Week. This last year we mixed it up a little bit, had some different activities every day. That went so well, we're doing it again this year. So we're hoping that there's something for everyone in this. It doesn't mean that everyone has to come to everything, although that would be absolutely awesome if that were the case. But we've got a communion service to start it off. We've got a prayer breakfast. We've got lunchtime prayer. We've got a Zoom prayer meeting. And then the one that we're really not expecting many people to come to at all is the prayer, praise and pizza evening. Something new for this year that Caitlin is organising. On Saturday the 10th, 24 hours of prayer from 12 noon on the Saturday until the end of that Sunday morning service. Now, this is for you to dip in and out of. There will be a room set up in church with some prayer stations and some prayer exercises to do. Caitlin would love it if some people would come and join her doing that in the room. But at another time, there's also going to be a prayer walk around Biggleswade at 1:30. So lots of stuff going on in that prayer week. Please do put it in your diary, and please do make an effort to come to at least one or attend at least one of those. If you can't do anything in person, we have got a Zoom meeting on there as well, just to get as many of us involved as possible. Prayer is the engine room of the church, and it's always good to start in January with a real focus on that. And just lastly from me, tonight is our church members meeting. It will be starting at 6:45 rather than 6:30. No, it won't. There is an important football match on this afternoon, but we won't worry about that. Actually, get out. So everyone's welcome here, even Arsenal fans. So at 6:30 tonight, we do have three applications of membership to hear about and to vote on. And we do need to be quorate, so please do make every effort, if you're a church member, to attend. Thank you. Mike.
Morning. Ladies' breakfast. It's the sort of upside down advert, really. We've already got well over 50 people booked for next Saturday. So if you were thinking you were coming to ladies' breakfast, it has been known for people to go on Church Suite during the service and actually book a place. If not, Heather will be around later, and I should be around, and Jan is here somewhere. So if you'd like to come next Saturday morning for Christmas breakfast and enjoy the welcome sparkling non-alcoholic drink and various other different Christmassy things, please do get booked, because Sainsbury's gets sold out. We need to dress in Christmas style. Okay. Catering team, you are excluded from that requirement.
Move into a time of prayer now. And to start with, we're going to join millions of Christians around the world in actually praying the prayer that is for the first Sunday in Advent in the Book of Common Prayer, not something we often visit. But I'll read that prayer out. If we then pause for our private reflections and prayers, and then I'll add a few other thoughts and prayer items as well. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armour of light. Now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and ever. Amen. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the light and the enjoyment and even the fun of this festive season. And yet we are aware that there are places in the world, places in this country, possibly even places in our own hearts, which don't fully have that light, where there are things that are not according to your will and your ways. And so, Lord, for the conflicts on the global scale and even on the individual scale in our own hearts and minds, Lord, we do pray that your peace will come. Lord, we also pray that your healing will come. Pray particularly for those we know and love who are not well at this time. And particularly bring forward Enid and Jill. Thank you for the NHS, Lord. Thank you for the great care that that's able to offer. And Lord, we thank you that you have given skills and insight. And we pray that that will work in the bodies and lives of those who are ill alongside your healing power, Lord. Thank you that you created the human body. You know how it works. You know when it's not working, what is going wrong. And we thank you that you have the power to heal. Lord, we do pray for the activities of the coming weeks. Lots of busyness, lots of enjoyment. And in that, Lord, we do pray that we will make space for your light and your hope. Amen. Okay, we've got one more song now, after which the Sunday Club and X Club, I believe, are heading out, and I think X Word are staying in. It is a Dougie Doug song, which might make you just think, oh, it's just a two-minute filler for a bit of fun. But don't fall into the trap of this being a kid's song. It's actually got really powerful words. It affirms our desire to worship our God who is alive. It affirms his healing power, and it affirms or mentions our desire to show the love, the forgiveness, the compassion that we have received, to show that to others. So yes, it's a fun song to sing, but do take in the meaning as well. Please stand. Excellent. Please do take your seats. Sunday Club and X Club, please do head out to your activities.
OK,
Okay, today's reading is from Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10, which is page 1173 in the Bibles, if you wanted to find it. It's titled, Praise for Spiritual Blessings in Christ. I think the words should come up. There we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
There was one other notice that I should have given earlier on. Apologies for that. It's the first Tuesday of the month this week, so we have our first Tuesday prayer at 12:30 till 1:30. Guess what day? Wednesday, yeah. On Tuesday, yes. And so when Cliff was talking earlier along about these people saying goodbye to the sun for 2 months... I can still get the Daily Mail and the Guardian. Oh, thank you. I'm here all week, every week. Of course, as we're coming up to the Christmas season, I know it's Advent, but it's preparing us for Christmas, maybe our minds are starting to think about party games or quizzes. Or things like, or maybe we're thinking, oh Lord, please, no party games, no quizzes. It depends. We could be on either side. But I've got a little bit of a quiz to come up in a minute. But first of all, just to say something about our Advent series for this year, we're following something from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity called Small Wonder. So each Sunday leading up to Christmas, Wonder should appear somewhere in the title, and maybe even in the message. Now, as well as giving us this overarching theme, LICC also have a month worth of readings if you want to do some Advent readings to prepare yourself for Christmas, and that can be found on the YouVersion Bible app, which Bill Simmons loves because he's just been asked if he loved it and was very tempted to press no but didn't. Or if you go onto the LICC website, you can get downloads of the readings through the week. And I know that some of our small groups are also following this series, or in the case of the Andrews group, leading this series. Is it 2 weeks ahead, Simon?
Just one week
ahead, okay. So this could be fun. Okay, so that's what's going on through Advent. And I'm going to just put some quotes up on the screen now. And I'd like you to be brave enough to tell me who said them. Simple as that. Simple party game. Who said this? Victor Meldrew. Absolutely right. And there he is in all his glory. Thank you very much. Who said this? I can't hear anybody. Corporal Jones, yes. The wonderful Clive Dunn as Lance Corporal Jones. Good. Next one. Oh. Well guessed. Well done. Yeah, Fraser Crane. I didn't realise how sensitive this button was. There we go. Next one. This one might be controversial.
Anton Deck.
Someone said Anton Deck. Who said something else? Bruce Forsyth. He never said that. No. Well done. Good game, good try. Well done. It is, in fact, the combined personality that is Ant and Dec. Normally, when they're about to evict somebody from the jungle, although you could say that, well, I can't remember his name now, but in things like Britain's Got Talent and things like that, they also sometimes say in no particular order as well. But for the purpose of this particular exercise, that's the right answer. Because I said so. Here's the last one. One of my favourites, this one. Baldrick. Yes, it's normally a cunning plan, isn't it? And he normally gets asked if he's as cunning as a cunning fox who has got a master's degree in cunning at the University of Cunningness and things like that. But yes, Private Baldrick, or just Baldrick throughout the series of Blackadder, will often come up and say, "I have a plan, sir." So some classic TV programmes there, plus I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. So well done for that. Moving on. Keep Baldrick's quote in your mind. We've already lit the first candle of Advent Sunday, the candle of hope. And the passage that Emily and Joy quoted at the beginning talks about what that hope is. It's not a vain hope. It's a hope based on something we can trust in and rely on. And we can trust and rely on it for a very simple reason. God has a plan. God has a plan. It's not a cunning plan. It's not a secret plan. It's a loving, thoughtful, effective, and eternal plan. It may even be a plan that many of us take for granted these days, but it's a plan of breathtaking scope and power that has never been seen before or since God announced it to the world. In Isaiah 5, it says that this plan is for many peoples, many nations. We could even say all peoples, all nations. And the plan is that we go to the mountain of the Lord, where we will learn of his ways and we will walk in his paths, paths that will bring peace between God and human beings, but also peace between nations, but also peace within ourselves, ushering in God's kingdom of love, peace, joy, and life. But that's not all that we have to say about this plan. This plan is utterly breathtaking. Caitlin read it to us just a couple of minutes ago. But let's remind ourselves. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." See, Baldrick will come up with a plan when a problem confronts him. It's a reactive plan. God put his plan into place before anything else had even happened. If you've been coming here a while, you know this is one of my favourite verses in Scripture, and it's one of those mind-blowing verses in Scripture that we have to struggle to get our head around. But God put his plan into place before anything else in creation had even happened. We sung about it in a couple of the songs this morning. But before the creation of the world, God's plan was there. And that plan was to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. Even now, it's... Hang on, let me just think about this for a minute. Before God even started creating, he'd already got this plan in place. See, Jesus coming to the earth wasn't a reaction to God getting it wrong with the way people might behave. Jesus coming to earth was already God's plan before he had created any human beings. That's just amazing. Because that tells us that God knew what the people that he created to love him would do. He knew that there would be rebellion. He knew there would be sin, there would be evil and all that. But because of God's love, he wanted to create us to enable us to share in the fullness of that love. And he knew that the only way that was going to be possible was at some point in our history, Jesus would come and reveal God to us. We say every year that Advent is a time of waiting, a time of preparation, not just for Christmas, but for the fulfillment of God's plan. God's plan to bring all things together in a new community. Actually, it's not just about you and me. It's about the whole of creation. The scripture says that the whole of creation groans in anticipation of the redemption that Christ brings it. God's plan to bring things together into a new community, a place of safety, a place of welcome where God is at the centre and our world is at peace. I don't know about you, but I feel that this year, this hope in God's plan needs to be shared more than ever before. As we look around our world, as we look around our nation, as we look in our own community, and as Cliff said earlier on, even as we look in our own hearts, we need to hear this message of hope that God has a plan in place that involves you and me from before the creation of the world. We need this good news of God's plan. Our friends need the good news of God's plan. Our world needs the good news of God's plan. Some of you may remember a chap called Ken Benjamin who came to visit us earlier this year. I'm hoping we've got the video of Ken, who's just going to share a little bit with us now.
I used to play chess reasonably competitively. Some friends would say I still play everything competitively, but I played chess for a club. On one occasion, we had this exhibition event called Simultaneous Chess. They invited one of the country's masters, a top, top player, to play all of us at the club at once. All the boards were arranged around the hall. Half of us played the white pieces, and half of us played the black pieces. There were maybe 40 of us, and we had as long as it took the master to work his way around the room to play our next move. When he got to our table, we had to play our move instantly, and he would play his move pretty much straight away. Now, in the high adrenaline sport of chess, there's no shouting or cheering allowed. If you see a move in your opponent that you think is brilliant or outstanding, you don't clap or say, "Well played," but you are allowed to slowly and subtly and almost imperceptibly nod your head. That's as emotional as it gets in chess. It means, I see you. I understand and appreciate your plan. The trouble with doing this to a Grand Master or International Master is that it looks a bit arrogant, doesn't it? Plus, they've already moved on to the next board, so who am I nodding to anyway? More importantly, before very long, any nod that I gave wouldn't have been honest. You see, Grand Masters have wonderful plans. Their plans take into account more moves ahead than I could possibly consider, and they consider more permutations and possibilities than most of us could begin to imagine. My memory of that day is that the chess master beat all of us, and maybe he drew with one or two of the top players in our club, and I was not one of them. The reality for all of us playing was that sometimes this master would play a move that made no sense to us until maybe five or six moves later. And sometimes the move made sense maybe 10 or 20 moves later. And sometimes a move like that only makes sense at the very end of the game. In that sense, our God is the ultimate grandmaster. He can see it all, plan more moves ahead than the smartest of us, take into account all the moves. And so at Christmas time, we can nod and give noisier thanks in our carols and prayers that his wonderful plan finds fulfillment in the birth of his son, our Saviour. But it is also the case in our everyday lives, with challenges and uncertainties in our work, say, or problems in other aspects of our lives, maybe, that some aspects of his master plan will only make sense in five or six moves, and some in 10 or 20 moves time, and some we will wait for the end game, for his return.
I love that illustration of God as the Grand Master. If God is God, he can do anything, and he is unfathomably greater than we are. And while we may not understand his plan, or even why certain things happen in the way they do, we can't see as far ahead as he can. But in God's word, we can see that plan. It's written in the pages of the Bible, almost from the very first page. Well, it is on the very first page, isn't it? Let us create man and woman in our image. And Genesis talks about God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve until they rebel against him. So God's plan from before creation was there, in creation, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. And of course, it finds its beginning at Christmas with the birth of Jesus. And let's not forget, Jesus was born into a world just as messed up and as mixed up as ours is today. They maybe didn't have quite as many sophisticated weapons as we do, or communications, but it was just as messed up as our world today. The Romans, they kept the peace, but they kept the peace through threats of violence, through military force, through persecution, even crucifixion. Christmas introduces us to a different way as God's plan begins to be seen in actuality in the person of Jesus. Peace through humility, peace through service and love, culminating in Jesus' death for us on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of Jesus, says this: he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. And if we want to make the most of Advent, if we want to really understand Christmas, we have to remember that Jesus doesn't stay a baby. A lot of people celebrate the birth of Christ and completely ignore the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. But it's all part of the same package. Because God's plan put in place before the creation of the world is that through Jesus, all the peoples of the world can find peace. All the peoples of the world. No exception. Every race, colour, creed, every age, all the peoples of the world. That's God's plan. But it's not a plan he forces on us. If you're keeping up with the news, it feels like there's a plan being forced on Ukraine at the moment to end the war. That's not a fair and just plan either. God does not force his plan on us. He offers us and invites us into his plan because God is love. And love does not force itself on the object of that love. And it's through faith in Jesus, who is the demonstration of God's love, that we can find the peace with God that we need and the assurance of a life of purpose, hope, and meaning. But we are free, because God has created us that way, to say yes to being part of God's plan, or to say no to being part of God's plan. The thing is, whatever we say to God's plan brings consequences into play. For every action, there is a reaction. For everything we do, there's a consequence. Here's the positive ones. Firstly, God has invited you and God has invited me to become part of this great plan that's been in existence since before the beginning of the world. And how do we do that? By trusting in Jesus. By recognizing that the entire Bible is all about Jesus. The Old Testament, so many prophecies about the Messiah. We'll hear about that later on in the month. But the Old Testament is pointing towards Jesus. When Jesus arrives, he says he is the fulfillment and the completion of all the promises in the Old Testament for rescue, for forgiveness, for grace, for love, for peace, for belonging. And God invites us to join that plan by trusting in Jesus. Secondly, if we accept that invitation and we put our trust in Jesus, we recognize that we are called to share this plan with others, to share this good news of God's love for us in Jesus Christ with other people, in our families, our places of work, wherever we find ourselves in our daily lives. We sang it, didn't we? I want to shine, shine, shine. The practical outworking of that is that when people see you and me, they see the light of Jesus in us if we are Christian believers. God wants us to shine with the light of Christ in the places that he has put us. The challenge for us is to remember and to keep shining. What that means is we can bring God's hope into the lives of other people. And I think that's what people need. People hear so many messages of hopelessness. They hear so much negativity, whether it's in the news or whether it's in relationships or even in the work environment or the family environment. All this bad stuff bombards us, doesn't it? You know, every time you put on the news at 10 or whenever you particularly watch it, there's hardly ever anything good on there. But here it is. Here's the good news. The good news of God's plan fulfilled in Jesus and carried on in you and me when we accept his invitation and we live our lives in a way that brings that light and that hope and that good news to other people. Thirdly, the way we live our lives is reordered. It's transformed because of a promise that one day Jesus is going to return. Advent isn't just about getting ready for Christmas. Advent is about looking forward to celebrating Christmas, yes, but it's also looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise of Jesus that one day he will return in glory and in power with all the armies of heaven, whatever that might look like, and he will establish a throne. and he will judge the living and the dead. What do we get judged on, you might ask? Well, first thing is, you will get judged on how you responded to that invitation. If we responded yes to that invitation, there's a positive judgment. We are welcomed with open arms into God's kingdom. If we turn down that invitation in this life, God will honour that choice in the next life. And so we will miss out on the wonders of life in God's presence for eternity. That's all the Bible says. That's not what Martin says. It's not a popular thing to be said these days, but that's what the Bible says. It's true. If you reject Jesus in this life, he will honour that choice in the next. So, we need to be prepared, living our lives with the awareness that Jesus is going to return, and he may return at any time. Like the sprinter poised at the blocks, ready to shoot off down the racing track, with all the alertness and all the energy and all the concentration that inspires and implies. That changes our values, it changes our understanding of history, it changes our understanding of the value of other people, all in a positive way, so that we can reflect the love of God to others around us. So there's an invitation, there's a commission to share, and there's a command to get ready. On your marks, get set, because Jesus is coming back. And he wants us to be ready, and he wants us to help other people be ready for when he comes back. So as we prepare through this Advent time, let's look for ways we can help others prepare to live in the light of God our Grand Master and his great plan, to recognise our part in his plan, and to play our part so that others can live in the light of the hope of Jesus coming back. Let's pray. God of wonder and wisdom, we are so grateful that you have a plan. We're so grateful that your plan doesn't depend on us, that it depends on your love, your foreknowledge, your grace, and your wisdom, even before you created anything or anyone. And we thank you that that plan involves building a home for all who accept your invitation. We thank you that your plan involves bringing peace to the broken. It involves lighting the way for our paths in this dark world. Heavenly Father, help us to see your light this Advent, to walk in your light this Advent, and to share your life this Advent, so that others too can find their way home and truly celebrate Christmas, but know there is a greater celebration to come when Jesus returns and establishes your kingdom of love and joy and peace and grace. Give us courage, give us faith, give us your joy that we may share it with others, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we sing our last song, as is our practice here, if anything that's been said or you've heard this morning has touched something in you and you'd like to get some prayer about it, the prayer team will be down here at the front. But it may be that you came with something that you'd really like someone to pray with you about this morning. Or it may be that you just want to get closer to Jesus. You want to shine more brightly for him. Come and get some prayer, or ask the person sitting next to you, if you know they're a Christian, to pray for you and with you. Don't go home without responding to what God has said. And our final song is looking forward to that day when Jesus returns on the clouds of heaven in power and glory. Thanks. Nice.
don't just want to see a generation
messing up. I want to be that generation. I want to be those people who see the power and the purpose behind God's plan and are willing to put it into place in our lives and in our community, in our time. Lord, help us to see this world from your perspective. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. And help us to stand up and shine for Jesus. As we go into this Advent season, help us to prepare ourselves for a meaningful celebration at Christmas, but also for meaningful lives that point people to the fact that one day the one who came as a baby in a manger is going to return as the King of Glory. Shape our lives around these facts, we pray, and help us to share this truth with others, that they too might look for you with anticipation and excitement and not with fear. And as we grow closer, may we know the power of your Spirit bringing those blessings that we read about in Ephesians. Again, something, a gift from you to us, but something for us then to share with others. May we be that kind of people. May we go in the name and in the strength of the Lord Jesus to live for him, to shine for him, and to build his kingdom with him. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.